We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell and your chairman, Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to another series of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. When we started, I actually looked like the photograph of me outside the theatre. Because this is, in fact, the 11th series of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, which means that we've recorded almost 100 editions of the programme, including four funny ones. Let's see if we can notch up a fifth now with our two teams, who are Tim Brooke Taylor and Willie Rushton. And Graham Garden and Barry Cryer. And we're going to launch ourselves like greyhounds unleashed into that ever-popular game, Mornington Crescent. Everybody... Everybody knows the rules, so for this first game in this series, we're going to play one of the special rules teams, so if you'll just make a note of this, that reverse substitution is allowed below an Oxford Street Shepherd's Bush axis. Have you got that?
No.
You can't reverse below...
It's allowed. Reverse
Maybe
substitution
allowed.
Is allowed.
Can do it.
Substitution.
Well, you can.
Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, Barry, you better start now. You seem to have got the hang of it quicker than the others.
Well, there's only one way I can start now. Ladbroke Grove. Good start.
Ladbroke Grove. Willie.
Strong.
Challenge from Glenn.
What was that?
I wasn't even meant to do that. I've forgotten the rules myself. First of a series, I forgot the rules. Beg your pardon.
Ladbroke. Kensington Church Street.
Wait.
That's the reverse if we're going on to Turnham Green.
We'll do anything.
Try. All right, Oxford Street, Street East and Argyle Street.
Oh.
Oxford Street East and Argyle Street.
Yeah, that's what it says on the thing.
Oh, I see. Oh. Holloway Road on its own.
Holland Park.
No. Say Park Lane, Manchester Square, the Mornington Crescent. Whang!
Well done.
Yeah. Very nice.
Oh, I lay. Oh,
I can see that coming. Well done, Willie.
I didn't.
Okay, teams, let's go on now to the game called Yellow Pages. I flick through the Yellow Pages. Teams, you have to stop me when you want to. And I'll give you a trade, the members of which you have to announce at the end of the program, at their annual ball.
Perhaps the listeners at home would like to flick through the yellow pages themselves. It's more fun than listening to the program.
Yeah.
Hump?
Yes,
if they
Tim.
Can flick through at the same speed, they'll know where you are. So if you
tell them... Oh, they're not meant to know where I am.
Oh, right.
They could ring in then, couldn't they?
Right, here we go.
Our number's not
in the
book.
I'm going to start flicking now.
Let your fingers do the walking, Hump.
Stop.
Well, I... Yes, I can give you a choice. Bolt and Nut Stockists. But you don't look too keen about that one.
Too easy.
Bookbinders. Bookmakers. How about bookmakers? We'll make it easy for you by enlarging it a bit to gamblers. So at the end of the programme, I'll ask you to announce your late arrivals at the Gambler's Ball.
Maybe the publishers could it as well. The makers of books.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I mean, it's just trying to spread it.
Meanwhile...
Nobody loves a smart ass.
He's on
not
drugs.
What you said before.
You promised.
Order.
Pint of lager, please.
We rush on to the game called Excuses. This is based on the game so popular with married couples, Where the Hell Have You Been? It's Gone Midnight. Someone I'm about to nominate will ask a searching question, and the next person will make an excuse, and the next one will follow that excuse, and so on, until I press the buzzer or murder is committed. We're going to start with you, Graham Garden.
J'accuse.
I remember him.
Why?
Oh, Sid Hughes' brother.
Yes. Why are you two wearing drag?
Oh, so we are. It was very dark in the bedroom when we got dressed.
Whose bedroom?
John Selwyn Gummer's.
You heard it here first.
That's a beautiful name, but I find that very hard to believe, because you never, ever see him wearing drag.
I told her it was very dark.
What were you doing in this bedroom?
this.
What? What's that?
No idea, but we're going to show it to Arthur Negus.
You're not going to see Arthur Negus dressed like that.
I'd go a long way to see Arthur Negus dressed like that.
Okay, well done, Willie. And we're going to start with you, Willie, now, to make another excuse and start the second game off.
What were you two doing round the back of the 3 degrees last Friday?
This. And as a result, there are now 45 degrees.
Is that centigrade or Fahrenheit?
I don't know. It was dark in the bedroom.
That's enough of that. Now, we have a game called New Sitcom Ideas. TV and radio channels are always trying to come up with new formats for successful situation comedy series. So in this next round, I'm going to ask you for some suggestions, teams, for sitcoms. And then we can send the best ideas to the Penelope Keith Rescue Fund. And we'll start with Barry Cryer.
Funny you should mention Penelope Keith, Humphrey. And this great idea for a series, Penelope Keith in as a mother superior in love with a midget. It's called Don't Swing on My Beads. A winner. Or not.
Right. Willie.
This is quite a serious idea. It's a variant on The Odd Couple. Brian Clough falls on hard times and goes to live with Quentin Crisp. After about 2 episodes, they realize they are, in fact, twin brothers. And then you've got a whole wonderful things can happen to them. I mean, extraordinary effect on Nottingham Forest, who become the first gay leaders of the 4th Division. I thought the most important thing in a situation in comedy in Verve is the sofa. So I've got a very rude sofa played by Bernard Manning. That would be it.
That would be it.
Crisp. It's a good title.
What was the title, sorry?
Clough and Crisp. I wouldn't like to hear the theme music, but Clough and Crisp.
Okay, Graham.
There's this Steeplejack, who's played by John Inman. And he lives next door to a retired stoker from Birkenhead, who's played by Penelope Keith. Now, problems arise when John Inman's son, played by Windsor Davies, falls in love with Penelope Keith's Doberman Pinscher. It's bad enough that the age difference is 36 years, but imagine the reaction when Windsor Davies gets pregnant. And the series is called Bucket of Cold Water. Oh.
The audience applauded because I waved at them.
Well, you know them.
Okay, Tim Brooke-Taylor.
Rather sentimental. Well, mine, it's a father who goes to a transvestite club and takes what he thinks is a lovely girl home with him. It turns out to be his son. Meanwhile, the son's boyfriend falls for the mother, thinking she's a man on the likely grounds that no woman could look like that. Wendy Craig enters at this moment and suggests that they all dress up as nannies, including herself, and live with the women's peace movement. There ensue many weeks of hilarious mirth-making fun of women, the possibility of nuclear holocaust, lesbians, gays in general, blacks, and the England cricket selectors. There is, incidentally, one key role, a camp Spaniard, with the catchphrase, "What a gay day go."
Well, I didn't wave at the audience that time. That was quite spontaneous, so Tim... Tim wins the round. Well done, Tim.
This is what they want.
Thank you, Humphrey.
Right, we go on to a game called Just a Minim. This is a musical round in which the team members attempt to sing a song for a minute without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And our first song is I Want to Be Happy. And we'll start with you, Graham Garden.
I want to be... What?
What?
The challenge from Tim Brooke-Taylor.
Hesitation.
Well, he hadn't started.
I know he hadn't started.
Never mind.
It was Colin Sell playing the introduction.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought it was Mouse.
I want to be happy, but me... What?
Repetition. From... That's the second time he's sung that.
Oh. I think I'll uphold that one, yes.
Don't.
Willie, carry on.
Myself desire to be happy.
Challenge from Tim Brooke Taylor.
Well, repetition of happy.
Carry on, Tim.
Right. But you...
Hesitation.
No, I won't allow that one, ooh, because Tim hasn't had a line for quite a while. Go on,
but
Tim.
They won't be...
Graham, yes.
Deviation.
Yes, you're right there.
All that. Is.
He's wearing a dress.
All that stuff about Penelope Keith so and gay Spaniard.
Will you pick up the song and try and finish it, please?
Life's really worth living when we are mirth-giving. Why can't I hand some to you when skies are grey and you say thou art blue? Me will send the sun.
Challenge from Willie Rushton.
V came up again. Hasn't come up for a long time.
No.
Something back through it, it hasn't come up before. D, H, and E have come up quite a lot before.
Not in that order, though.
Not necessarily.
No.
Well, Willie, I'll uphold that one, but I want to hear something from Barry Cryer. So, Barry, will you take it up?
Hesitation.
Quite true. I'm going to stop that song because you're having problems with that song, and let's do another one. Let's do a slightly slower song. I think this is a nice one. I always like this one.
Oh.
Never on Sunday.
Been reading my mail again.
Willie.
Oh, you can kiss mine.
Oh, me.
Graham.
Deviation.
Only if you do.
I should say it. Yes, I'll uphold that. Carry on, Graham.
Oh, you can kiss me on a Monday, a Lundi, a Montag is very extremely good. Or you can osculate me.
Tim?
Yes, Tim. Or you can. Repetition.
Oh. No, it was hesitation, but carry on.
And hesitation.
And hesitation.
And deviation.
And deviation. Carry on, Tim.
Osculate me on a Tuesday, a Mardi, another day of the week. In fact, you wish I could. Or...
Challenge from Graham.
Repetition in reverse order.
I think that's right, Pump.
Yes. All right, then, Graham, you pick up the song from there.
Or you can do it again to me on a Wednesday, a third day of the week, a last day of the week, and last day of the week, but one repetition of last day of the week.
You challenge yourself.
So I can go on.
Yes.
But never, ever on a Sunday, a Lord's Day, because that's my period of 24 hours of rest.
I think we'll allow that one to go.
Yeah.
And really
great
speaking now,
the original, I thought.
The whole contest is very evenly poised as we go on to the next game, which is called Estate Agent's Jargon. Anyone who's bought a house and received particulars from estate agents will know that they're experts in creative writing. So I want you teams to give me some examples of estate agent's jargon and then tell me what it means. I think we'll start with Tim Brooke Taylor.
Oh. Compact garden means access to window box. Basically. Semi-detached means it's falling apart. And one I liked to think the other day was a very large period building praised by John Betjeman, built on Victorian lines. It means they're selling St. Pancras.
Barry.
Open plan. A Barrett's helicopter crashed on it. Green belt, mouldy skirting. Reduced for quick sale. I like that one. That means please someone buy it before it collapses.
Willie.
Well, one they misuse now is studio, which is actually a room higher than it is long or wide, and the window's too high up to actually look out of it. If it's ideal for photographer, it's the same room without the window.
Graham.
But sometimes you see on their adverts the letters CH, which means cannot heat. Two recep means that two receptacles are required to catch the rain dripping through the ceiling. Needs some renovation usually means condemned. And indoor WC means outdoor bath.
Anybody got any more? Tim?
A stone's throw from Hyde Park means all the windows are broken.
Within commuting distance, Gatwick's at the bottom of the garden.
Attractively modernised means flock wallpaper.
Full of character means the Death Watch beetle are particularly loud.
Listed building means the Tower of Pisa.
We go on to the next game, which is called Tell the Truth. This is a variation on the brilliant Channel 4 game hosted by the highly talented chairman, I can't read your handwriting, Graham. In Channel 4's version, three people identify themselves as the same person. Only one of them is telling the truth, and the panel have to pick him out by judicious questioning. So on this occasion, Graham and Barry will be doing the questioning, and I now call upon our three individuals to identify themselves. Number one, please.
My name is Adolf Hitler, and I lost World War II.
Now, number two, please.
My name is Adolf Hitler, and I lost World War II.
Now, number three, please.
Rick unter den Jubel, Österreich in unser Land ein. Österreichische Soldaten begrüßen, Deutsche Gaue.
Right. Now, Graham and Barry, you can question our three Hitlers to find out which is the real Adolf.
I'll start. They're all very persuasive.
Yeah.
Number three I thought had a trace of a Scottish accent, but... number two, where do you live now?
Here.
And number three, what sort of job do you do nowadays?
Rick unter den Jubel!
I see, BBC car park attendant. Now, I don't know.
I would like to disassociate myself from that remark and hope that I get a space one day.
This is very difficult. I think they're going for a double bluff here. Number one, do you wear any special clothing, or did you wear any special clothing while you were losing World War II?
Only for interior decoration.
My time's up.
Right, Barry.
Number one, you're German, aren't you? This is obviously an assumed voice.
Yes, I am German.
Oh.
Though I was born in Austria.
Austrian. Max Jaffa country. Number three, did you ever marry?
Österreich in unser Land ein.
Fair enough. Number two.
Zig Jimmy.
Why is your arm in the air, number two? Is that a customary pose?
I was just acting under orders.
Bit of a
giveaway, my own orders. Sorry, you're talking when I'm talking to you.
Are you? Oh, my time's up.
Okay, now, Graham and Barry. First of all, Graham. Who do you think it is?
Number three was quite plausible, but gave himself away with the answer to Barry's last question.
Yeah.
Number
one was a woman, I thought.
Number one was a woman.
What about the little moustache?
And,
usually on the lip.
I think I'm going to go for number two because he looks as if he might invade Poland.
Right, Barry, do you agree with that?
I've boiled them down and they're awfully tasty. I'm going for number two because... He looks as if he has invaded Poland. Very recently. Yes, I'll settle for number two.
Number two,
number
right.
Number two.
Right, now I must ask the real Adolf Hitler, will you please stand up?
He can't, he's dead.
God.
Who would have thought it? Who would have thought it?
Right, but just for interest, number one, can you tell me what you do?
I am a 24-hour... bomb maker.
And number three, what do you do?
Österreich in unser Land ein.
He was on punchlines last week.
Okay, with Graham leaping into the lead there, we have a game, Bordeaux. Everybody knows the rules. We're going to play the game now with the board laid out already in advance. The teams are equipped with dice and counters. Thank you. And that's enough.
Counter,
and
counter.
We'll start with you, Graham Garden.
Right.
Your throw.
And I've got a four there, which gives me an extra throw. Five means I can throw the second dice twice more. Once. Twice. Right. Nope, I can't go.
Tim.
We've only got one dice. Throw it twice.
One.
Can I throw it twice, Hump?
Oh, go on.
That wasn't very good anyway.
Four and one make, Willie. Quick. Five, right.
Good.
Right, community chest. Return to Beecher's Brook.
Ah.
Right, okay.
Barry.
Barry, I'll go.
Oh, that's useful.
Seven. Oh. I can either not go or go. I have a choice.
Go.
Seven.
Silver the pigs will help.
Just missed it. Community chest, pick up card. You have been knighted by Harold Wilson. Go straight to jail. That's me out.
That puts you in a very strong position. It's Willie's turn.
Six.
You. I'm in a hotel in Mayfair with the Reverend Green. This could lead to something. Thank the Lord, there's a secret passage. Hang on. Oh. I'm now in bed with Colonel Mustard.
Well, that's all we have time to do this week. Remember the positions as they are now, because we should be picking up from there. Now we come to our last game, which is the point where I ask the teams for their announcements for late arrivals at the Gambler's Ball, which we chose from the Yellow Pages. Late arrivals at the Gambler's Ball.
Welcome. Someone who has trouble with his R's. Talk through it. Probably from the roulette table... Ian Navarre Plou.
Oh.
And all the way from France, will you welcome Mr. and Mrs. Defer and their daughter Charmaine Defer.
Please will you welcome from Spain, Senor Ahmed, the well-known Spanish robber, the famous Juan Ahmed. Bandit. And his Chinese racing friend, Wei Din. Thank you.
I've come in with Bert Baccarat.
From Las Vegas, the family shoot crap. and their son, Les Shoot Crap. Despite the fact he's out of season.
All the way from Russia, the famous horse racing family, its favorite. And their son, Ivan's favorite.
Mr. Chui and his daughter Betty Chui.
Oh.
Oh.
And her friend Roulette Lenska.
There are the Go Callers and their son Ben Go Caller.
From the Post family, a clerical gentleman. He's a pastor, in fact. In fact, he's the first pastor post.
I have another holy man. An Irish holy man from Peru. A Father Juan de Field.
Everybody's moving away from him.
Thanks to the Daily Mirror, we've got Andy Capp arriving at 3:30. That's from Newmarket. That's the 3:30 handicap from Newmarket. Also from the southern states of America, please will you welcome visitors to our country, Mr. and Mrs. Ment of Risk, and their necessary daughter, the necessary Ellie Ment of Risk.
She's a Yankee.
There's Spot the Ball. Oh, no, it's Spot the Dog. He's doing the pools.
At this point, with Tim Brooke Taylor first past the post and Barry Crowley hit. Next week, Graham. Next
Tommy
week.
Tune and his sister Pom. Pom Tune.
This is where we come to an end for this week, and from all the teams and myself, goodbye now.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme is produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.